Holy God, our Heavenly Father, we come in this morning hour, a new day, a new year, new beginnings, with great hopes and expectations, Heavenly Father, but our hopes are only in Thee. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thy word is still with us in this day, and the gift of salvation is still offered to all mankind. Thy love is still manifest in our hearts, and we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for this. Pray, Heavenly Father, that as we would look into Thy word, that it would speak to us through ways that we cannot even understand, for they are the ways of the Spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would grant us the ability to accept and to place it deep into our hearts. Pray, Heavenly Father, that all have come in this morning hour with hearts prepared to receive Thy word, and grant us the grace, Heavenly Father, to be able to apply it. For we need not only to be hearers, but doers. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thy Spirit would minister through the weakness of the flesh, that this weak servant could bring forth the power of the message in spirit and in truth. Help us all to this end, Heavenly Father, that we would be edified through Thy word and that Thy name would be glorified in all things. This is your praying, Jesus, in the most precious name. Amen. I desire, with God's help, for this morning's meditation to read from a portion of Scripture from the Epistle of Apostle Paul to Ephesians, chapter 5. I desire to read the first 21 verses. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I read unto the, including the 21st verse. Now this portion of Scripture is very, very familiar to us. And how does this really tie into our a new year here, a new day, a new year? For many, hopes of a new beginning. For others, hoping they can maintain what they have. And as we reflect on the years past, and I think of the many years past, I think about the expectations we had from younger years, speaking of to myself first here. Going back to my childhood, teenage years, the years seemed so far away. You know, when I thought about even the year 2000, when I thought about the year 2020, That to me seemed like just a ridiculous number. It seemed like so far away that it would just seem inconceivable. What would life be like in 2020? Or would I even be around? And I remember as a young man calculating my age at the year 2020 and thinking, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in this world in the year 2020. And here we are at 2023. And so the question comes up as was stated, as actually mentioned in this chapter here, are we redeeming the time? And have we redeemed the time? And these are all questions that we really need to spend time thinking about. You know, every day is a new day, a new gift, a clean slate. And sometimes we carry over things from yesterday to the next day, and it seems to muddle up our focus and our direction. And there's times where we really need to sit down and spend time thinking about taking inventory of our lives. Where have we come from? Where are we going? What are our expectations for ourselves? And more importantly, what is God's expectations of us? And I think sometimes we those get blurred between what our will is and what God's will is. And that's also addressed in this chapter here as well. I'm really thankful that Apostle Paul did include this into this chapter here. We have some exhortations here of the things we ought to do, the things we ought not to do. And if we consider where we have come from, like I mentioned, we have to kind of pace ourselves to think, like, where did, how far have I made it? Where have I strayed? Where have I gone off to the side where I needed to work back and lost time there? And moving forward, what are the things that are conducive to my spiritual walk and what are the things that are destructive? And if we don't have a count of these in our lives, we tend to fall into defaults where we just do things that are distractions, take over our lives. What does Apostle Paul say here? It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. So we need to be led by someone and something greater than us, and that is God. An example of Jesus Christ. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So this is where it all started. It all started with a sacrifice for each and every one of us. A sacrifice many, many years ago. And the gift of that is still offered to all mankind today. And that we need to be very thankful for. That the grace of God is still with us. Now, there's a few key words that really stand out to me in these verses that I read here. These are words, these are action words. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That takes a lot of work. And like I mentioned, redeeming the time, being aware, be cognizant, aware of the time. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's a very, very deep verse there. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand what the will of the Lord is? These are all key verses that really tie into our legacy. It ties into our progress or lack thereof. And it really needs to convict us. You know, recently there was a few chapters that were covered in sermons in our church, and some really stand out to me that really convicted me. And I was thinking this morning about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about what we build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And no other foundation can be built but on Jesus Christ. And what have we built upon that? And, you know, the verse where it talks about, you know, is it gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And as I thought about that, I really have to reflect back on my life and think about, what have I built upon this foundation? You know, this gift has been given to each and every one of us as children of God. And what have we built upon this foundation? And then we go to like 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that in a house there are many different items in there. Some things are of more value than others. Some fit for to be kept, to be that are precious, and others that can be discarded. And as I take those to heart, I have to think about in my life, how many years have I squandered? How many opportunities have I squandered? What have I done in the Lord's name? And what have I done for the sake of man, or even the appearances? And all these things really tie into both those chapters in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about they were struggling in the Corinth church with not being able to handle the meat of the word, but only on milk. And they were caught up in petty things. They were caught up whether they were of Apollos or whether they were of Apostle Paul. And they were kind of missing the whole point, that it wasn't really about either one of them. It was about the work of the Lord. Following Jesus Christ, planting the seed, and looking to God for the increase. And that's really what it was about. But they were caught up in the petty things. And I questioned myself, how many things, petty things along the way have distracted me from doing the work that I've been called to do? And as we look in this one verse here, in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? You know, we can take that very personally, where we think that we're going to discern. Like, I think I know what God wants me to do. I think I know the direction and the things I need to do. You know, I need to stay away from these things. I need to do this thing. I need to go have certain things that I do in my routine every day. But is that really what the will of the Lord is? And that, to me, really stops me in my tracks when I think about what I had built upon that foundation. And as Apostle Paul was teaching Timothy of what it means to do his will. And in that chapter, he gives him a lot of exhortation and recommendation of things that he ought to do if he wants to be fit for the master's use. And in the 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about the analogy of being a soldier and how you have to be really focused on who you're serving and what you're called to do. It's not a matter of where you think you want to be or ought to be, but it's a matter of following what the commander or whoever is in charge of you, sergeant is in charge, what he asks you to do, and not to even question that. How do we take that into our spiritual walk? And that's really important to consider here as we try to understand what is the will of God. Is the will of God trying to match what somebody else is doing, to imitate somebody else? Is the will of God finding what the majority think you ought to be doing, to follow the norms of what seems comfortable? You know, Apostle Paul tells Timothy that in order to be fit for the master's use, there's a lot of work and a lot of discipline that's involved in that. And he gives all sorts of examples in that chapter. And I really, really love that chapter because it really shows us that we need to be focused on what we're called to do, because this is a race. And that's the two analogies that Apostle Paul uses: as a soldier, being committed to being focused, and being an athlete, where you're fully committed to winning that race, and you're giving your all. And it's not something you do casually. It's something you do intentionally, and that takes every bit of you. And not only do you push yourself, but any good athlete would have a coach also, a coach that would push them beyond their limits to help them to realize their potential. And that coach, as children of God, that's our Holy Spirit within us. God's Holy Spirit within us is coaching us, correcting us, directing us. And that's the only way we can know his will. But as we heard even this morning during Bible class, we heard a little bit about iniquity. And iniquity is something that really has been on my heart a lot. You know, the word iniquity sounds like it's something very, not a big deal. Iniquity is maybe something casual, but iniquity is something very, very serious. It's a lawlessness. It's contradicting the order of God and the will of God. And so in 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul tells Timothy, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." They're all within the same house. If you think about inside your house, what you've got in your house, there are things that you hold of great value that you really, really would hate to see those be gone or stolen or lost or broken. And there's things that you would sweep off and right into the trash bin. And there, just think about the contrast between those two. And if you think about within the household of the Lord, what is valuable, what is not? Is it always by face value? How do we always know what the how do we identify gold? You know, it's gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. How do we categorize those, and can we differentiate between those? And that's something that we struggle with as human beings, because they all have substance. You know, a piece of wood is something you can touch. It's tangible. It has some strength to it. And the hay has its purpose too in feeding animals. Stubble, maybe not so much. But they all have their something. They are all something. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about how the fire proves these things. And the fire really shows what would hold up and what's not of great value. And are we willing to subject ourselves to that fire, or do we avoid it? And what is this fire? The fire can show up in different ways. It can come up through tribulation, it can come up through convictions. I know there's times where I felt really horrible, like I really failed. I really failed, I really did wrong. And the feeling in my heart convicted me so badly that there was almost like a burning. It was almost like a burning within me where I felt like this is something that had to die. There was something of it not only was of no value, but it was actually hurting me, and it had to go. And the pain that it took to get rid of that was so real. But I realized also that it was the best thing for me to be exposed to that, to be purged to that. So fire can come through convictions. It can come through exhortation. When it comes from the Spirit, you don't want to fight it. You want to own it. Embrace it. Be thankful that you have the exhortation. You know, we can go to Hebrews chapter 12 where it talks about if you don't have that exhortation, if you're not being exhorted and there's no correction, you're as a bastard. You don't have God's Holy Spirit. But if you have His Spirit within you and you're being convicted by what He's telling you to do or not to do, the best thing to do is be thankful for that and embrace it. You know, I think about Apostle Paul when he wrote in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He didn't understand that thorn in the flesh. He didn't understand why that thorn in the flesh had to be there. It was something that he prayed three times that thorn would be taken away from him. Until he heard God tell him that his grace is sufficient for him, as it is for each and every one of us. But how do we embrace that? You know, once Apostle Paul understood that thorn in the flesh was for his good, it balanced him out, then he embraced it and he was thankful for it. Then he would rather glory in his infirmities, that the power of God would rest on him. Do we have that mindset where those things that hurt us, do we run away from those? And we read in this chapter also about light, about the preciousness of that light. Is that something we really want, or is that something we run from? And that is something, a question we really need to ask ourselves. You know, that came to from the time of Nicodemus, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus. He came by night, ironically, but he wanted truth. And what did Jesus tell him? You must be born again. I mean, it was so hard for him to understand. But what is truth? Truth is light. And truth exposes us for who we really are. It brings us to a light. Do we want that light? Or do we want to have live behind a facade of what we want to portray ourselves as? There is such great growth in being subject to that pain, to that suffering. And it is only through that difficult times and those clarification of God's Spirit in our hearts that we find out what is truly valuable in our lives. When that wood burns, when that hay burns, that stubble, it leaves ash. Would we rather be exposed to the truth while we're here, while we have time? You know, we talk about today being a new year, a new day, a new opportunity to strive for gold. As we let those things in our lives burn that are wood and hay and stubble, then we have an idea of where we're at, what's lacking. And then we can apply ourselves to those things that are more precious, the things that are of gold. How do we find those things of gold? We're not going to find it ourselves. It's through the leading of God's Spirit, opportunities given to us, opening our eyes and being purged. And that's what Apostle Paul told Timothy, that there's a huge difference between the things that are in this house. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one of that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then he talks about the different vessels of gold, silver, wood of an earth. And then it says here, a key verse here in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Unless you're dealing with the things that are getting rid of those beggarly elements that are in your life, you're not fit for the master's use. And you really can't even start to attain those things of gold until God gives you those opportunities. And it's really a key here. We heard this morning from Matthew chapter 24 about because of the love of because of iniquity would abound, the love of many will wax cold. And we think about how that ties in. This word iniquity keeps coming back. It says here, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here it is, iniquity again. We can read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the mystery of iniquity that worketh. That's working in the hearts of men, working in society, working in through devious ways, creeping into the lives and the hearts of human beings, and also into the hearts of the sons and the daughters of the living God. Are we fit for the master's use? You know, if there's iniquity in our lives that we're not dealing with, we're not fit for the master's use. God can't use us, and those opportunities won't come to us. Are we directed by God's Spirit? Do we know his will? That's not a small undertaking. That incorporates every bit of your life. Your prayer time, your reading, your meditation, your opportunities and how you react to those. You start building up. You don't get to gold until you work through all the other elements to get to gold. It's not just one day you end up with a bar of gold and here it is. It's a long journey. It's a marathon. It's not something that comes casually. It takes a lot of selflessness and a lot of pain and discipline to get there. Can any of us say we have gold in our lives? We'll know when it passes through the fire. How well do we know ourselves? Do we really trust ourselves? You know, we can read in Jeremiah that our heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Do we really trust our feelings, or our own judgment? Are we led of the Spirit? I think that's a thought that kept coming back to me during Bible class this morning, that are we led of God's Spirit? You know, we just heard recently, last week, as a matter of fact, from Luke chapter 2. And in that chapter was a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna. And they saw the Messiah in a newborn babe. They didn't need to see a miracle. They didn't need to hear a word from his mouth. They knew by God's Holy Spirit that that little babe was the Messiah. What does that tell us about preparation? You know, as we consider about all the things that are coming around us, all these challenges and all these new things that are fearful things to the world are coming our direction. And we start thinking about how are we going to deal with these? And it was touched on many, many times in this morning's Bible class. Do we prepare? Do we try to create bunkers or hoard resources to help us through the unknown times? Where's God's Holy Spirit? Where's his guiding? If Simeon has such the confidence because of what God's Spirit had shown him, that he would not die till he saw the Messiah in the flesh, where is our confidence? Is our confidence that no matter come what may, God is providing for us if we're living in his will? And if we're living in his will, that means God's giving us opportunities. He's giving us direction. He's giving us what we need. And if we have that confidence in him, we're not lacking anything. We are complete. And that ties together so many different scriptures. Do we really trust in the Lord? Are we working towards that gold? Is there iniquity in our lives? Are those opportunities coming to us? And when they do come, do we recognize them as from God? And do we thank God for those opportunities, or are they more of an inconvenience to us? All these things tie together and kind of gives us an assessment, self-assessment of where we stand. Where is our walk? Are we fit for the master's use? And how do we discern what is iniquity? And how is iniquity shown in our lives? You know, I really appreciate Apostle Paul's words here. In verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You know, when you're circumspect, there's nothing left. You're very focused. You're considering all aspects. It's not just being hyper-focused on one small thing, but being circumspect, you're looking at all aspects of what your life, what's being brought to you, the things, challenges you have from day to day. It's not just one thing. You know, when COVID came around, that seemed to be the only focus on so many people's minds, and that was the only thing. But that was the opportunity, as was mentioned during the Bible class, that during COVID, we have an opportunity to show that what we had in our hearts was so much different than the fear that the world has. You know, perfect love casteth out fear. And if we have that perfect love and we have that manifest in our lives, that shows. And it shows through the peace that we have. And peace is another thing that, you know, we can choose to hold on to, or we can forfeit it because we're so distracted. The peace is promised to us if we're focused on Jesus. As when Peter was walking on the water, as long as he was focused on Jesus, he was on top of that water. As soon as he looked at the winds and the boisterous waves, he began to sink. And we can do the same thing spiritually. When we get tripped up by the things that we hear around us, the things that distract us, the things that might even cause fear in our hearts, God forbid, those things take away our peace. And if we don't have that peace, we're losing our testimony as well. And all these things tie together to really give us an assessment of where we are. And looking forward, what is it we're trying to do from day to day? Are we trying to dodge the next challenge or the next epidemic or the next fear of what's going to happen economically? Should that even be a thought in our minds? Should that really be that much of a distraction? Or do we need to be focused on what God is giving us in opportunities from day to day? That we can be count upon God's grace and even the difficulties that purify us, draw us closer to him. Even as Apostle Paul realized in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Where is our walk, and how are we pacing ourselves? you know, often I tell the seeking souls, like, they're anxious to get to the baptism. They want to be baptized. And, you know, that's a starting line. That's not a finish line. That's a starting line. And that starting line is for a race that you don't know how long it's going to be to the last number after that dash on your tombstone. And that span of years, you really don't know, but you need to pace yourself to be able to maintain, sustain your race, to be able to, as an athlete, not to get winded and not to grow slack, but to pace yourself. And that's where the coach comes in. And that's God's Holy Spirit in our hearts. And I'm so thankful that we have him, but are we listening? And do we know his will? You know, it takes us back to Matthew chapter 7, where many good deeds, according to those that thought they knew the Lord, they could tell Jesus what they did. And this brings in another example of iniquity. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is a key verse. Here it ties together with Ephesians chapter 5. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In the next verse, it talks about all the things that they did. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here it is again. They did a lot of things. You know, you can say you're doing a lot of things. I think I know what God wants me to do. I think I know what his will is. I'm going to do as much as I can of that, maybe even when it's convenient. But did you do the will of the Father? And that's really the key. Did you hear that voice? And you can read in John chapter 10 where the sheep know the voice. They know the voice of their shepherd. We read it, as I mentioned, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Lord knoweth his own. Do we know our shepherd? And does our shepherd know us? Do we know his voice? Are we listening? And we do. And when we do hear, do we act out on what we were asked to do? You know, there's a big difference, as we read here, and also in Timothy, doing the will of the Father, which is in heaven. And that's not just something where you go, you operate with your gut feeling. And I love the examples that we can read in Acts chapter 16 of Apostle Paul when he is on his missionary journey, and he's been dedicated for this. He was ordained for this. And so he's on his missionary journey. He is going from town to town, region to region. And then he comes to, and it says in chapter 16, verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after that they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they came down, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So hindered twice. You might think that I'm doing what God wants me to do. But when you have that relationship with God's Holy Spirit, and he is in you and guiding you, and you know how to listen, and you hear his voice, it's very real. And it'll stop you in your tracks like it did Apostle Paul. Is that something that we can understand? It may look a little bit different to us. I'm not sure exactly how he sensed that or how direct it was. But I know in my life, when I feel like a door is closing, I have that sense. Like something is not going right, but be patient. And through that patience, your faith is tested. And then after a period of time, a door opens, and all of a sudden an opportunity pops out of nowhere. It's like, ah, here it is. And so we can see in our own lives how that works practically if we're led of God's Holy Spirit. So for Apostle Paul, he knew that he was being hindered, and he had to wait. And it wasn't until after he waited here that he received the vision. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There was his answer. And it says, immediately. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So it's a matter of understanding when things aren't going well, to be patient, and more patience, till you have that direction. And when you have that direction, you don't dilly-dally. Immediately, you respond to that. That is the leading of the Spirit. And that's the beautiful example we have of what it means to have that to be able to hear his voice and to be able to have that faith to respond. You know, I think of also the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he had this directive, go out in the wilderness here and in the desert here, and you're gonna find what you're supposed to do. And he went out and he met this eunuch, and we know the account where the timing was perfect, where he comes up to his carriage here, and as he's reading Isaiah, perfect timing. Who is this man speaking of? Well, of himself or somebody else? And it tied right into salvation. And the timing of the water there, at that, just as they were pulling up the water, what hinders me that I'd be baptized? He says, nothing. You know, the faith was there. The timing was there. God's Spirit led him there. And when we are led of God's Spirit, we shouldn't be surprised when God opens doors for us and things just fall in our lap. Where did this come from? Don't question it. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity. And let me immediately do what you're asking me to do. And as we do that, we're fit for the master's use. But there's still purging. There's still things that amass to ourselves, the dross that comes into our hearts and our lives. And those things need to be dealt with too. And that's where we need to go to, like Psalm 139, where search me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we open ourselves, make ourselves vulnerable to God's Spirit, there needs to be purging, there needs to be correction. There has to be sometimes things that are cleaned out. The things that have crept into our lives that are hindering us from being fit for the master's use need to be purged, burned. They have to be taken care of. And it's not comfortable. But the results of that is so powerful and so rewarding that it's worth it. And when we realize that being purged is the best thing we could ever have done for us, because we understand what was of value, what was not. We can deceive ourselves thinking like, I've got a lot of good things in my life and I'm doing what God wants me to do. It could be so far off base. Where is our walk? Are we listening? Are we praying? Are we encouraging others? You know, not everybody was going to be an Apostle Paul, and not everybody was going to be a missionary, not everybody was going to be a preacher or a prophet. But he says in the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, that prayer that would be made for all saints, that's something that we can all do. We support each other in whatever capacity we've been called to serve. And there's a reward for each and every one of us. It's not a matter of that's his problem or that's his responsibility or his calling. It's a matter of entering into one another's labors. And when we do that, there's rewards for everybody. You give a glass of water to someone that as a disciple, you're going to receive his reward. God is not slack in his rewards. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us opportunities. He wants us to take those opportunities. He wants us to grow those opportunities. And he'll give us more. And I think about the talents. You can start with one talent. You can end up with 10 plus. But it doesn't come easy. It's a matter of using what God has given you to work with. And if you're working with that, he sees what you're fit to do, whether you're given more opportunities and more talents to work with. There's no shortage of what God can give you. Is it fitting for everybody to have all the talents? No, he gave it according to their several ability. And when we're open to understanding not our limitations, but what God sees in our potential, and we open ourselves to that, there is nothing impossible. If God is asking us to do this, whatever it is he's asking us to do, he's going to give us the grace to do that as well. And that's his promise. God is not slack. You know, I think about the distractions we get sometimes when listening to other people. And I think about in Acts, in chapter 20, where where Apostle Paul knew he was given to him to understand by the Spirit that he had to suffer, he would be arrested, and he would have to go to Rome. And as he was dealing with this and working towards that, there were those that became aware of that. He shared with some, and some it was shown even through Agabus, through the prophet. And as this prophet shared with everybody there what would happen, he says, and when this he was come down, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles." And when we, Acts here, Luke is writing this, and we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But what was Paul's answer here? Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So he had to oppose the general consensus of what he ought or not ought not to do. And when he said these things, this is when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." So we see here that sometimes even well-meaning fellow believers can have words that might discourage us from doing what God's will is. And so we need to be focused on what God asks us to do and be ready to even defend that. That if this was the will of God, no man can speak against that. And so that's an example for us also. Do we listen to the chatter? Do we listen to the consensus? Are we looking to others for direction or for assurance, a reassurance of what you know what we're doing? Are we looking for a pat on the back? Are we looking to be praised? God forbid, because if, verily verily we have a reward if that's the case. But what we've heard, what we've read today, really brings us back to redeeming the time. The days are obviously evil, but it doesn't mean that we should be so fearful where it cripples us. It's a matter that we have faith. Our faith is bolstered by the experiences we've had, by the leading of God's Holy Spirit, by the opportunities God is giving us to stay busy in the things that are constructive for our spiritual walk, that we continue to work towards that gold. And gold, we know, even in the Olympics, gold isn't something that's achieved easily. It takes every bit, being better than every other person, wanting it more than anybody else. That's when you get the gold. You apply yourself completely. You know, if someone offered you, if you're on the podium, they offered you a medal made of wood, would you be honored? That'd be an insult. If you're striving for gold, wood won't cut it. If we're striving for gold, we need to be put through the fire to see what has burned up. What has been purified, because we glorify God even through the things that we do because we love him, not just because we're looking for a reward, but because we truly love him, and that is our testimony, that he's given us so much more than we can ever give back, and he loved us more than we can ever love him. And when we act and live that way, it's very apparent to all of those around us. In this new year here, let us focus on opening ourselves to God's opportunities to purge those things out that hinder us from being useful in God's service, that we could work towards that gold and that silver and those things that are precious, and that we would have that relationship with Jesus Christ through God's Holy Spirit, to be led by him, and that we would know of a surety that there is no need to fear, or for a full trust is in him. May God bless these words.